And turn it on the right, correctly. All right. In chapter 2, verse 51. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. He's talked about subject. And remember, it means that it's a military term that means all the troops and supplies and everything are in order to accomplish the task at hand. And we're going to look at some of these. Yeah, let's go to Romans 8:20.
Are we looking at subject in context of this phrase, or just...
Yeah, we're looking at the, what the meaning of the word is.
Okay.
Huh?
That's what we did. Where did we go?
Romans 8. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. That's hard to understand. Remember that we always have to go back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were innocent. But that's not what God wanted. He didn't want innocence. He wanted holiness. And that holiness can only be accomplished by putting innocence to the ultimate test. You understand the relationship between innocence and holiness? Innocence in reality means no self-awareness. That's the true meaning of innocence. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. So the reason he did that not willingly is because Adam and Eve, the first Adam, fell. In other words, he failed the test of innocency, of holiness. So now, the creature was made subject to that vanity because of the sin of Adam. You can't get out of it. You can't do anything about it. It's hardwired. So he subjected the same in hope that they would come to see their death, and that the innocence in Christ, which is already a completed way, would be manifested in them. And this creature was made subject to vanity by the fall, and not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. And what is the hope? The hope is always connected with resurrection. So can you see then why it's so critical in terms of you're going to be in line with the purpose of God? There must be 100% seeing your death and 100% bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. 100% lack of awareness of self. That's what God is after. That's the hope, because Christ in you is the only hope. And everything and every thought that you do and every way that you try to understand it is an attempt to flee that revelation so that you can remain in control of the vessel, so that you can seduce yourself into believing that you control something. Everybody understand this? Without this understanding of the purpose then you'll never understand what being in submission or subject to means. Amen?
This is complete vulnerability and trusting in God alone.
Every second. There's no part of you that leans on your own arm of understanding. There's no part of you that returns to cause and effect. There's no part of you that returns to the old habits because there's no longer any reference to you.
Yeah, and the flesh fights every ounce of that position. The minute it feels it, it wants to lean on its arm of understanding or get out.
Yeah, the flesh that the flesh that has been given life by the creature. So if you give yourself any importance at all, then you're resurrecting the whole damn thing. With flesh, for the flesh, I mean, for spirit, the battle is over. When you're still swimming in the muck and you believe there's a battle. Is that clear? Well, it's more than that. If you still see yourself in time, it's a battle. Oh, this stuff is so important, and yet I don't have the words to explain it right.
I was thinking the flesh doesn't even know that it's been subjected by God into this scenario. It just thinks it's like
it just thinks it's life or karma.
I can change it. I can fix it. So it not only doesn't know the hope, it doesn't even know the
strength.
What's going on?
Yeah.
And so Paul's telling us this sort of clears things out.
This can't be a philosophy at all. It can't be something that's going to improve you. It can't be used for anything. It's either on or off. In him, out of him.
Isn't at this point where philosophy is the flesh's attempt to intellectualize the process and escape it?
Is that a confession?
Don't go there. It might be. But
no, of course.
Yeah,
I was being facetious. But
you always talk about how much you hate philosophy, and I never quite got the fullness of why you hate it so much, but I think it's right here.
Because you've there's this wall between you and your thoughts, and so you have these great wonderful thoughts, but they're just bullshit. Because again, you're playing a video game. There's no reality. There's no possibility of the word becoming flesh. Because you never test it. You never empty. You never only wait. First Corinthians 15 again. I knew there was a reason I turned that off yesterday. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept or died. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Excuse me. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. And when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. That last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted that which did put all things under him. In other words, Christ is still under God, even though God gave him the authority to put all things under him. Amen? Else what? Well, anyway, that's enough. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all and in all. Now that's not describing time. That's describing apprehension. That which has been is now. That which is to be has already been. And God requireth that which is past. That's an incredible statement, if your mind can accept it. That which has been is now. That which is to be has already been. And God require it. In other words, every second of every nanosecond of your entire birth and your entire genetic record was required to get you to this point. So he was always, it was always, all our works are wrought in him. But now you never go back. You never lean on your own arm of understanding for a solution. You never return to cause and effect for anything. You rest under that mighty hand of God and see. Because if you don't do this, if you don't rest, it'll just be a philosophy. You'll never know that you've always been in subjection under him. Amen? This has massive implications, somebody once said.
I guess to me, when I find my philosophy important, right, or I return to it, it's easy to judge and justify.
It's automatic. No. All right, one more. Well, let me read that one more. Let's go to Ephesians 1. Starting 17. This is that prayer that we've been spending a lot of time on lately. He ceases not to give thanks, and praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is this exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all. All things, again, are in subjection, hypotasso. Everything is arranged for that purpose. For his purpose, the perfection of the bride, the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's the purpose of time and space. The only question is, are you in subjection? You will automatically be in subjection, but will he will use you just as he used the other antagonisms. But will he will use all these things you say and do and everything, but he won't use you. Now there's got to be a component of the fear of God here. Otherwise you just blithefully, whatever that word is, you just walk through life. No repentance. Alright. Philippians 3. Verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now I tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind or give breath to earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change or transfigure our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Again, that word subdue is hypotasso. But it's critical that you got to see your own pride here. And see how stupid it is. It's you've never once, nothing, none of your plans and little ideas and none of them have ever had any value except to give the illusion that you had some talent or some ability. Don't return to those weak and beggarly elements of the world. Don't rebuild that which has been destroyed in any dimension. Amen? Mm. What?
Oh, just that I could have been a contender. The thought of the intoxication of that is what drives me.
And it's just pure, unadulterated witchcraft. It retains and keeps you alive. It can be just the stupidest things. Like those homeless guys under the bridge, drunk, saying, I'll tell you one goddamn thing if I were president. Keep the illusion alive. Oh, that person's doing it wrong. I know how to do it right. Keep the illusion alive. It's the smallest things that keep the illusion alive. Your irritation at a brother, and you're convinced you're right about it, or sister. Keep the illusion alive.
It's like an anger is like atomic fuel or something for the beast.
That's the one more, Hebrews 2. You You know, I figured out maybe what I should do every other day is not record and then have to do it twice in here because the people outside there understand probably. But if we do it twice in here, then
we'll catch up with
those guys. I'm sorry.
Getting into remedial Bible study.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll come every other day.
Yeah. Verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak, but in one certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visitest him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels, thou crowned him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For he, both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified, are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He put all in subjection under him, but we see not yet, I couldn't get that down, we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus. If you don't see him, if you still have an opinion, then wait until he reveals it. That is the singular most important thing to do. It's more important than you breathing. It's more important than you sleeping. Until you see Christ as all and in all. Till you see the perfection of his holiness wherever you look. Because the New Jerusalem is our only surrounding reality. Amen?
I was thinking that Jesus, when it says he was subject unto them, he had to know all this other, you know, that his being subject to them was part of this whole...
I'm not sure he knew.
Well, but I didn't know all the answers. But he must have, you know, intuited that, because that's the reason you could be in subjection. You know, it's because you know that God's there putting everything.
Yeah, he had to have. You know? He had to have that. What we could therefore call there that perfect faith. But he really heard. This first Passover. I mean, I would wager to you a lot of money that before that Passover, he wasn't always subject to him, because he wasn't yet a child of the law, so there was no sin or trespass. Something snapped at that first Passover. He understood, probably better than the doctors that he was speaking to, perfection of that moment of faith. Now you can understand it equally and never leave it for any reason. What are you troubled by, Gary?
Pardon me?
What are you troubled by?
Oh, I'm starting to go to work.
Oh, okay. Well, if he's left, then we might as well all leave. Take the big guy.